Well, here we come again to the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus begins this passage talking about false prophets. Now, it is interesting, is it not? This is the same Sermon on the Mount in which Jesus said, "Judge not." He began here in chapter 7, "Judge not." And how often is that phrase used in an unbiblical way? Don't judge, don't judge me. Well, here even Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount begins, "Beware of false prophets." So remember, he is not saying never have a critical thought of someone. He is saying don't be hypercritical in your determinations. Do not be hypercritical, but you must have discernment. And here again, you must have discernment. He says we should be on guard against false teachers. If you are to enter into the kingdom, if you are to be a citizen of the kingdom, you have to enter through the gate. And if you do not enter through that gate, remember, destruction awaits. But you also, he says, need to be on guard because there are false teachers, false prophets. There are those who are saying, this is the way, and it's not the way. There are those who just as in the time of old would say, peace and safety, but there is no peace and safety. He's calling us, be on guard against false teachers. Those teachers who claim to be true, those teachers who claim to be teachers of his kingdom, and yet they contradict that truth with not only the words, but with their lives. And he says, verse 15, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So here's this teaching of that Jesus warns us against these false teachers. And notice it's set in two realities. First reality is this: truth matters. What you believe matters. Truth matters. Be on guard against those who would blur and distort the truth as though truth doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter. Well, Jesus says truth does matter because what you believe will send you to hell, or what you believe and believe rightly, you will attain his glory, his kingdom, the blessings that are entailed in his kingdom. Jesus reminds us truth matters. So be on guard against false prophets. Second thing is this: there are false prophets. False prophets exist. Truth matters, and false prophets exist. The Lord Jesus would not be telling us to beware of false prophets if it wasn't a real problem. It is a real problem. And it's amazing how often times in the Bible the conversation of false teachers or false prophets come up in the New Testament. Paul is constantly giving warnings against false teachers. You remember the one instance, he's addressing the elders of the church in Ephesus, and he says, "I tell you, there are going to be wolves who come up from within you, up from your own flock, to lead you away, to lead astray the very people of God." There's this warning. And in the Bible, there's this real concern. There's a concern here of Christ. There's a concern in the prophets that, yeah, truth matters. And there is such a thing as a false prophet. Now, Jesus is not, I want to make this clear, Jesus is not encouraging heresy hunting. Like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find everything wrong with every individual out there, and we are going to be heresy hunters. No, that's not what he's encouraging. And it is hard. It's difficult to call someone a heretic. But it's a warning here. You need to be on guard. Child of God, you should be on guard because truth matters. And there's some people who would lead you away and would not lead you in the truth. Be on guard. There is an objective standard of truth. It's God's word, and there are those who will lead you away from that word. Now, this is not a popular idea today in our relativistic world. A world that says you can believe this or you can believe that, and it does not matter. Even if these things contradict, it's all right. It's all true. Jesus never subscribes to that kind of illogic. You cannot have two opposing statements and both of them be true. They can't both be wrong, but they can't both be true. Jesus never says, it doesn't really matter. You can believe truth or you can believe a lie. But you know, you cannot believe both of those things. It matters. It matters that you believe the truth. It matters today that you in this pew believe the truth. It matters in your lives that you believe the truth. Eternal destiny hangs in the balance of the fact that you believe the truth and not a lie. Jesus, in this passage, warns us. He warns us against false prophets. He says they are dangerous. Notice he calls them ravenous wolves. And they're also deceptive. They are deceiving the people of God. They're ravenous wolves. Even though they are dressed in sheep's clothing, they appear to be something that they are not. And therefore, they are both dangerous and they're deceptive. He warns, he says, be on guard against these false teachers. And he's going to offer them tests and says, here are some ways you can identify then false teachers. And in that he's calling us to discernment. Can you discern? Can you identify when that individual's teaching falsely and not? Well, what are those tests? He says they'll be known by their fruits. Verse 16 through 20. A false prophet, you'll spot them. You know them by their fruits. What type of tree it is determines what kind of fruit it produces. Grapes don't grow on apple trees. Apples don't grow on grapevines. You'll know the character of the tree by the fruit that is produced by it. And so verse 17, every good tree bears good fruit. Every bad tree bears bad fruit. He notes the condition, doesn't he? The condition of the fruit is another, it's a sign of the true or the false prophet. Verse 19, he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So fruitlessness in good or fruitlessness in righteousness, it will only lead to judgment and condemnation. That's what it will lead to. And Jesus says, think of the fruit. Look at the fruit. Examine the fruit. The condition of the fruit. If you look at the fruit, you'll know whether it's a true prophet or false prophet. Now, his tests have two or three aspects here. First off, there is the test of doctrine, isn't it? You can distinguish a true prophet, a true teacher, or a false teacher by the test of doctrine. What is the doctrine they teach? Is it aligned with orthodoxy? Is it part of the faith that has once for all been handed down to the saints? Is it in accordance with the scriptures? Is it in accordance with sound doctrine? Is it what the church has believed through the ages? Or is this person claiming to believe something that nobody else has ever picked up on? I got a new teaching, and no one has ever heard this or thought of this, but I've got it. Yeah, can I tell you, if you hear that, you've got a false teacher. You've got a false teacher. Someone claiming to found a truth that no one else has ever understood, but now I have understood it. Let me just tell you, you've got a false teacher on your hands. Note the words of Jesus, Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. And then he says in verse 37 concerning the Pharisees, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. So by your doctrine, by what you preach, what you believe, by that is what you stand and fall by. If you speak falsehood, you're going to be judged. If you speak lies, you're going to be judged. If you speak truth, you will be justified. Teaching that is not in accordance with the Scripture, it's not in accordance with the Bible, it's false teaching. And it abounds today. There's all manner of people who in the name of Jesus Christ speak things that are positively contradictory to his word. Now, it doesn't matter how sincere that person is or how engaging that person is or how apparently successful that person is. They will be condemned if they do not speak in accordance with his word. You know, I don't think anyone actually recognizes themselves as ravenous wolves. Yeah, in our heads we get these ideas of a false teacher being like the Jim Jones type, really shady with the big glasses and the flashiness and just gaudiness. But I don't think that's always the case. They're in sheep's clothing. They look great. They are sincere. They come to the hospital when you have an operation, and they check on you. They're very sweet people. They're engaging people. I don't think there's ever been a heretic. I mean, if a heretic is unpleasant to be with, nobody's going to be with them. No, do they speak what's in accordance to the Word of God? The second test is a test of character. Is his life lived in accordance with the true teaching of his lips? So it's one thing. He does teach truth from the Scriptures. Look at their life also. Examine their life. Does their life match it? Do they have a life of godliness? Does their life display the fruit of the Spirit? Does it display perhaps the work of the flesh? Are they under the lordship of Christ Jesus? Or do they claim to be a follower of Jesus, but their life just shows ungodliness and carnality in every way? Jesus' words about the fruit of the tree speak directly to what type of life is being lived by this individual. A false teacher does not display the fruit of the Spirit. He does not walk in the counsel of the Lord. Third aspect of this test the fruit of, the result of the teaching of the prophet and the life of the hearers, his followers. Does his teaching promote godliness? Does his teaching promote Christ and focus on Christ and hope in God and walk with God? Or does it instill ungodliness? My former pastor, Gary Gray, would say, if it's in the pulpit, it's in the pew. So if the preacher's or false teacher's life is marked by ungodliness, it's also going to show up in the pew and in the life of the hearers. Does the teacher exalt in Christ and promote Christ and promote godliness in Christ's likeness? Or do they present Christ as even less significant than what the Scriptures would hold forward and hold forward only what seems relevant to a carnal mind? Does their teaching upset the faith of the believer, or does it build up the faith of the believer? Does it cause divisions in the body of Christ, or does it promote a healthy biblical spiritual unity? These are tests. These are tests that the Apostle Paul, he will lay out in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 18 and 16, or 1 Timothy 6, 4, where Paul, over and over, he'll speak to people about the impact of the teaching of false prophets on the hearers. By their doctrine and by their character and by the fruit of their teaching. We test teachers. We test those who claim to be preaching the word of God. Verse 20 says, so then again, you will know them by their fruits. It's hard to counterfeit virtue. It will show itself at some point or another. If the grace of the Holy Spirit is not active and working in the life of an individual, it will show. It will make itself clear. Now, if we're going to apply this great truth, though, the Lord says His people need to be zealous. They need to love the truth. Everyone needs to love the truth. We need to care. We need to care about the truth. We need to care about true biblical doctrine, true preaching, being under the sound of sound preaching. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. John writes, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, before I can test the spirits, what do I have to know? What is the truth? What is the truth? I have to know the truth. Do you make the truth your business? Studying the truth. Do you feed on the truth daily? Do you love the truth of the Word of God, the theology of the Word of God? Do you long to be better equipped in the Word of God? Do you long to be grounded more and more in the Word of God? So publicly, privately, personally, corporately, do I live in the Word? Am I constantly in the Word? Are you memorizing the Word? Are you hiding it in your hearts? I think of the children in Awana, hiding the Word of God in their hearts. Please, we should never say, I'm older now, I need not do that. No, are we in the Word, hiding the Word in our hearts? Because that's how we test the spirits. If I don't know the truth, I can't test them. All I could do then is rely on a heart, but it's a heart that God's Word says is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. I have to know the truth if I'm going to test and examine the spirits. How will I identify falsehood if I don't know the truth? Christian, I hope you're passionate about the Word of God. I hope that passion is growing. Because we live in a day and an age where it says, you don't need to be concerned about truth. We live in a day and age which says no one believes truth anymore, right? There is no such thing as truth. And matter of fact, we live in a day and age that says, don't you think you're a little bit narrow-minded and bigoted and arrogant for saying you believe the truth? I mean, yeah, some people think that's the truth, but some people say it's not the truth. Isn't that a little bit arrogant and bigoted? Jesus says no. Jesus says no. Without the truth, you can't be set free. John 17, we saw it this morning. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. If you do not know the truth, the Spirit will not be working effectively in our lives for godliness. Christian, love the truth. Be passionate about the truth. Love it. Be in it daily. Remember, these false prophets, they're deceivers. When God warns us against false prophets, He's not just saying, hey, you be on guard against those charlatans who try to take your money all the time because they want an airplane. He's not just saying, be on guard against them. He's not just saying, be on guard against those unscrupulous Jim Jones types out there trying to bilk you out of money. No, you be on guard, even if that individual is very sincere. Examine everything against the Scriptures. He describes them as false prophets, precisely in those terms. These terms, there are these individuals who are self-deceived. They may be sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. They're self-deceived, and they're leading people into deception. They may have very pure motives. But the road to destruction is paved, isn't it, with good intentions here. Sincerity means nothing if it's not accompanied by the truth of God's word. And so one reason, if you pick up your packet today, you'll notice the most significant revision is in the area of leadership. That it's not an individual leader, but there's a plurality of leaders. Why? Because there must be mutual accountability, that no one individual is above that mutual accountability, that the biblical standard is for a plurality of elders. Because, let's be honest, we're all sinful. And we can all be self-deceived. And there is a necessity for that. And an accountability that must be there and take place. So, false prophets. What kind of things are false prophets saying today? What kind of things do you hear the false prophets saying today? Well, time does not permit for us to list everything and catalog everything a false teacher would say. But you will hear things like this. Hell is a myth. Just think of it as a figure of speech. Surely the belief in such things as that has gone away. We need to move on. Or statements like this, God will not punish individuals everlastingly. That hell is not an eternal suffering. Or there is no such thing as absolute truth. People who claim to believe in absolute truth are zealots and bigots. And really, we need to exterminate them from our society. You hear this language coming all the more rapidly. That those who believe in truth, absolute truth, need to be exterminated from society. They say things like this, doctrine doesn't matter. We just need to be sincere and to love one another. And it doesn't really matter what you believe. So whether you're the Muslim or whether you're a Christian, just be sincere and love others. You'll hear things that Jesus is the way for some people, but surely you can't believe he's the only way. Yeah, yes, my faith is very important and very dear and very personal to me, and your faith should be equally so to you, whatever that faith might be. You hear things like that. You'll hear statements like that. You'll hear, you need your best life right now. And you can do it by positive thinking and happy thoughts. Whether or not you have any self-denial or faith and trust in Christ. Well, we need to be ready. We need to stand against false teaching. We must look for piety, that the Holy Spirit is working in grace in the individual's life. The one who teaches the Word of God. Is what they say true? Is there orthodoxy there? Is there a true adherence to the teachings of the Scripture? Don't look for personality. Don't look for that. Don't look for worldly accomplishment. Don't look for status. Don't do that. That's how the false prophet gets a foothold in. Don't say, oh, wow, what a personality. Oh, they're so funny. Oh, they're so attractive. Say, is it true? Do they love the truth? Do they open it and look at the truth? Do they live by this word? Do their lives reflect that? Are they pointing me to the truth? Look at their character and their teaching. Look at the character of the man of God. And look at the teaching of the man of God. And finally, Christians, I want you to notice the Christian has to take care that we do not deceive ourselves. I said earlier, the false prophet never thinks of themselves as a ravenous wolf. They're very sincere, notice Jesus teaches here, we must be on guard that we don't deceive ourselves. It's not only that we're on guard against those who would lead us into deception here, but we can deceive ourselves. Look at verses 21, 23. You take care. Your verbal profession of faith is accompanied by practical obedience in our lives. Verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So here's a warning. Do not give yourself just a verbal profession of faith. Now, don't get me wrong. A verbal profession of faith is important. And I ask you now, has there been a time that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's important. Yes. Yes. But do not trust only in a verbal profession. For there are many who have made a verbal profession, but their lives have never been marked or changed. They have not experienced the regeneration of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They have never, as John says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again even to see the kingdom of God. You can't, so they can't even see it. But they've never been changed. There's no heart change in the individual. Yes, they said a prayer. Yes, they said some words. Yes, those words were orthodox. Yes, they said Jesus is Lord. Yes, they said Jesus is born and raised from the dead. And they may say that with great fervency. They may even publicly declare it by getting in a big tub of water and showing everybody. But if you profess only verbally, and you lack the moral profession that says my life has been changed, there's not been a change of character, you're destined for destruction. You're on the road to destruction. Grace not only saves us from the penalty of sin, it changes our hearts in our lives. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity, because grace changes our lives, friends. Jesus, in verses 22 and 23, this is a terrifying promise, isn't it? There are going to be people on the last day, and they claim what? To have prophesied in his name, to cast out demons in his name, to perform miracles in his name. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And what are those terrifying words? I never knew you. They knew the name of Jesus. They had done all these things in the name of Jesus. He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Aren't those terrifying words? Terrifying words. Did you notice it is Jesus who judges on that last day? I will declare to them, I never knew you. Here is Jesus, the God-man, sitting on the very throne of judgment. He says, oh, you knew my name. He doesn't even say they didn't. He doesn't argue, right? He doesn't say, no, you didn't do those things. You didn't cast out any demons. You didn't heal any sick. You didn't preach. No, no, he doesn't say that. He doesn't argue with them. Maybe you did do them, but your lives were not changed by the gospel. You are still into the practice of lawlessness. Your life contradicts the claim that you're my disciples. I don't know if Jerry's out in the parking lot or not. Honk if you hear me, Jerry. But often in visiting, Jerry would give this illustration, and it's so helpful. Just because I drive around in a truck that says Hogue Plumbing does not mean you want me to come in and fix your plumbing, because I don't know anything about it. Just because you say you're a disciple of Jesus Christ does not mean you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Are the fruit there? Is the fruit there? Is there the evidence there that yes, you've been saved by his grace and your life has now been changed? Isn't that Luther's declaration? We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, but the grace that saves does not come alone. It brings with it a changed heart. And as a result of that changed heart, there's evidence there now that I am his and he is mine. God's grace and your obedience are always marked together. They're evidence together. Grace saves. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We receive it, don't we? By faith alone. But that grace that reigns in righteousness, obedience accompanies it. Obedience to the Lord accompanies it. True faith is always accompanied by a changed life. So I just ask you, you that are here, is your profession nominal or is it a real profession? You say, I'm a disciple of Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus. Is that really what you are? Or are you just saying that you are? Are you living under his lordship? Is there the fruit of the Spirit in the reign of your life? Is the bent of your life the bent of his kingdom? You know, calling and examining and looking for fruit of the Spirit does not contradict salvation by grace alone, by faith alone. You know why? Because Christ saves the hypocrite the same way he saves every other sinner. Every other sinner. So we come before him. We trust him. We trust in him only. I've been trusting in my own righteousness. Yes, I have said that I was his disciple, but really I've been trusting in my own righteousness and doing my own thing and living my own way. But now's the time to turn. Now our churches are filled with people who have gone through motions but have never had change of heart. This is why we sang Hallelujah, What a Savior a few minutes ago. Because we don't just need a little bit of salvation, we need a whole lot of salvation. And so we sing Hallelujah, What a Savior, because I need a lot of salvation and I am undone without Christ. So here is Jesus' call. Come, enter the kingdom. Reject false prophets. Reject a profession that's merely verbal. And I hope you'll do that. Reject a profession. Do not be self-deceived in thinking you're a child of God when there is no evidence of a changed heart. But I recognize that. What do I do? You come to Christ now. You come to Christ. You may have deceived people for 50 years. You come to him now. You come to him now. Say yes to Christ. Say yes to him, and in him you'll find a Savior. That's good news. That's hopeful news. That's glorious truth. Let's look to him and pray now, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us. Lord, may we hear these warnings of false teachers with false doctrines, but may we also hear this warnings that we ourselves may be false. We do not presume on our own works. Lord, these people who come on the last day, they say, all they argue is what they've done. Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? How many of us, Lord, will say, Lord, didn't I walk forward and didn't I pray this prayer and didn't I go to church and didn't I? Oh, Lord, our salvation is in you. Save us by your great grace. And save us not only from our sins, but save us to righteousness and holiness, that we would pursue that in this world. And let it be to your praise and to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.